Classic hits, the best new music, and the biggest songs from around the world. Act local, think global. The sound of Great West London.
91.8 Hayes FM.
Alex Hutton, Kate Winter,
The Jazz Show.
Well, ladies and gents, here we are once again with The Jazz Show. I'm Kate Winter.
I'm Alex Hutton.
You're going to be so excited to find out who our guest is, and I'm going to tell you all about that in a minute, so stay tuned. This is Ndlali Ibokile by Herbie Chwala, a South African musician, fresh from the Cape Town Jazz Festival, and the album is called African Time. This is a new band we've discovered at the Cape Town Jazz Festival from the heart of South Africa, although strangely slightly American sounding. Anyway, before our guest comes on, this is Leanne Carroll.
Well, I
look at you suddenly. Something in your eyes I see is so big as bewitching me. It's that old devil moon that you stole from the skies. It's the old devil moon in your eyes. You and your glance make this romance too hot to handle. Stars in the night, shining their light, can't hold a candle up to your dance as you do. I've got the fire high and wide on a magic carpet ride, full of butterflies inside. I wanna dance, I wanna swoon, wanna laugh like a loon. It's that old devil moon in your eyes. Just when I thought I kept head above, old devil moon deep in your eyes fills me with love. Doop doo bop doo ah.
Now, we are very excited this morning because here in the studio with us, we have a brilliant keyboardist whose finely honed melodism and broad-reaching style have been heard around the world. And a drummer whose invigorating rhythms captivate every audience. You've heard him play with Billy Cobham, Level 42, the NDR Big Band, John McLaughlin, etc. And that's all apart from his own compositions. Now, you would think that I'm talking about two very talented individuals because, well, how can one person play two instruments equally as good? But I assure you, these two are rolled up in this neat little package that is Mr. Gary Husband. Welcome to the show, Gary. How are you doing?
Thank you, Kate. Very well, thanks. A little wet, you know.
Yes.
A little wet outside.
London weather, London weather. Oh, a special warm welcome to all our friends listening on Global City Radio as well as Haze FM. Now, you don't have a kit in your house. You don't have a drum kit in your house. And you have confessed that you don't really practice.
Ooh.
How do you develop your ideas then?
Ooh. Well, I listen to brilliant artists like you, Alex, and like you, Kate. And it's very difficult to get used to you sitting in this capacity here after seeing you perform so brilliantly the other week. But, you know, we have to make these adjustments. And practicing is a bit like an adjustment to me, I guess, in that I should do it, but I don't do it as often as I do. But what I do, and I think most musicians do, is work off feelings and instincts and you know, ideas that come into your mind, you know, from your imagination. And I find that, you know, in places like traveling on trains or planes or something, I start getting millions of ideas and stuff. And sometimes I'll bother to write them down and, you know, but I'll certainly think about them and I'll develop them in my mind. But when I finally get to an instrument, I'll either work it out on a piano or drums, depending on what it is. So it's not a very good excuse, but it's the best one I've got.
Well, I guess that you're touring so much and you're playing in so many different, you know, different levels of things and different bands and always constantly playing and performing every night.
I guess I get around a bit. Yeah.
I guess that in itself kind of you getting your practice up and you bouncing off the ideas of the other musicians as well. And do you think?
Yeah, I think certainly. I think to be actively involved in the playing medium, whether it's, you know, live playing or recording or something like that, is definitely to a musician's advantage, is it a performance advantage where, you know, you're hands-on with it all the time. Okay, you know, you haven't been sitting in a back room studying out, you know, these amazing rudiments or just, you know, amazing sort of patterns, you know, throughout all the keys. No, I haven't done that. But what I have done is to be able to put lots of the moment ideas and instincts into practice at the time, you know, which to me I think is what it's all about, because that's where you have to do it anyway, isn't it? So
brilliant.
It's the way it is for me.
Well, let's go back to the beginning. Your father, a musician, your mother, a dancer, so born into a distinctively artistic family. Do you think that they would have, would you have still gone with music? Would you have still gravitated towards music, say, for example, if your family had been excellent accountants or perhaps sports stars or something? Do you think you would have gone with music or would you have gone a different way?
It's easy for me to say the way I feel and the way I remember feeling. My earliest memories is that I would have always gone with music or motor racing, actually, gotta be said.
Oh,
I was
that's interesting.
Formula One fan as a kid. But, I guess it was totally advantageous, wasn't it, that I had this kind of environment at home with two performers on both sides, you know, so not only was I used to, I had this introduction to the business, the music business environment, but I also was introduced to many great musicians, you know, through my father and, you know, many people in the radio and television business and entertainment business from my mother's side. So it was, I felt really at home there to the point, actually, I was still at school I had actually taken one of my first ever gigs in a hotel playing for dinner dances on weekends. And, you know, they were busy at school telling me, as only they can in the north of England, you know, you can't spend your time, you know, dreaming and, you know, you're never going to be a musician. You know, you've got to think about a proper job and in a proper line of work.
Yeah, I think my parents are a bit like that as well. I think they're not really sure what I do. I think they think I'm probably take lots of drugs and or they think a musician's life is, you know, drugs and rock and roll and being on tour and
exactly.
being a bit of a layabout. I'm not sure they actually realize that it's actually quite hard and it's a, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into it, I think. Yeah.
It's the bit they don't see.
Yeah.
The self-discipline.
The self-discipline.
The dedication, the application, the work, with the capital W, which we all have done and still do.
Yeah, you have to put the work in, don't you? Mm. Let's hear one of your tracks, shall we? Now, this one that you've brought for us is an exclusive. It didn't actually make the record. Why not?
Oh, good question. Why didn't it make it? Timing, I think. In spite of the fact that it's a short track, that I just couldn't find anywhere to put it. You know, when you go and do an album, I invariably turn it with far too much material and sort of choose between what's there and how coherently it kind of hangs together and plays as an album. And unfortunately, this one didn't make it. But I'm glad to say that it can make the airwaves today via your excellent program. I'm very grateful.
It's an exclusive. We're very pleased to have it.
We're going to be back with Gary Husband in the studio and to listen to that track right after this.
Classic hits, the best new music, Brit Asian pop and world music.
It's a big happening city.
London!
The sound of great West London.
91.8 Hayes FM.
Alex Hutton, Kate Winter,
The Jazz Show.
So this album's called Gary Husband's Drive, is it?
The album is actually called Hotwired,
right.
By the group that I had at the time, which was Gary Husband's Drive.
I see. This was in 2009. Tell us a bit about the band members, and are you playing both drums and keys on this?
I am on this track, and I actually used to do in the band's gigs. Yeah, I just sort of moved literally from one instrument to another for
Brilliant.
Just passages of tunes and things, you know, just for novelty value.
Yeah, definitely.
But we featured this, we had a great talented young trumpet player by the name of Richard Turner, who we sadly lost a while ago, a very young, brilliant player with a most amazing future ahead of him, and we tragically lost him. So it's really great from that point of view too that we get this track playing today. And I had a saxophonist we all know called Julian Siegel, brilliant player.
Yes, and our listeners have heard him quite recently on our show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's a gentleman and a great, great player. And just with the trumpet and the saxophone, I had no harmony at all. It was just trumpet, saxophone, bass and drums. And that was pretty much the open nature of that, of the band and its writing and its sound. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, let's hear it. This is Study in Z. Is that how you say it? Study in Z?
That'll do for me.
Thank you.
Gary Husband's Study in Z, a track that you haven't heard before. An exclusive here today on The Jazz Show. Woohoo! Thank you very much, Gary. Mm. Now, you did intense classical piano lessons as a kid.
I did.
And then you started experimenting with the drums. When did you realize that the two instruments were of equal importance to you?
I think
are they of equal importance to you?
They very much are. Yeah, they're of sort of equal development, and they certainly rank the same in terms of what you call importance, or so that, in other words, they're both main instrument, if that can be the case. That's the way I feel it. And in fact, I feel that with both instruments, everything's complete that way. Not the fact that one sort of takes care of one area and another one takes care of another, so much as that without one of those instruments, it wouldn't feel complete to me. So I think complete is the best word to use. Mm. But the drums came along as a retaliation towards my classical piano teacher, who was a complete dragon. Sorry to say. She was very good, but, it just put me through hell. And maybe I needed to go through that, but it actually put me off piano in the end. It was so severe. And the whole kind of competitive element in classical music, as I'm sure you know, Alex, just unbearable. You know, I just couldn't stand it. It was like a sport or, a tournament. And I really hated that aspect, but loved the music. And I really acquired a great sort of basis for a classical piano technique, which I am really thankful for. I'm really glad that I did that. But apart from that, my love of classical music even was beginning to suffer, so much that I didn't even want to hear a piano again for a long time.
Wow!
So I invented this great plan, which was to start playing drums, and she was so appalled at this that she phoned my father and said, "That'll be his last lesson with me, thank you."
Well, thank goodness for that dragon, otherwise you may have never picked up the drumsticks.
Excuse
me. Goodness.
Yeah, so I mean that just came along, and out of wanting to sort of be free, whereas the classical was a really kind of formal study, and I really wanted to be a sort of rebel in music. So the drums was, of course, the perfect thing for it to create some anarchy. And I went ahead and did that. And I kind of sensed at the beginning that I might be more of a kind of workhorse on drums, in that I'll go in and out of the different musical styles, which I was encouraged to do first by my father, to be open, to be versatile. That's the best way to work. You'll get work. If they know you can do this, they know you can do that. So I did that. But the piano, sort of started coming back. The fascination was sort of renewed in a way, under a fresh impetus, and I started sort of developing more in the way that I wanted to develop, and that was always a little bit more specialized. So if there is a difference, it's just that.
Okay. Mm. Do you do more of your gigs on drums than piano, or are they perfectly equal in the sort of live performance aspect of your life?
It's about 50-50.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, it actually works, in spite of the fact people would tell me, don't confuse people by being the so-called multi-instrumentalist, because actually people can't get a handle on what you do. And if they do get a handle on what you do, they don't really regard you as either a serious piano player or a serious drummer, because you've got this whole other side. So how can he be that good on... he's obviously not all that way. He's split it between two, and therefore it's not as concentrated or not as good.
I think people think, if you jack of all trades, master of none.
That syndrome, yes. Mm. Yes. So, I just try to be jack of a couple of trades and the best I can do.
Well, let's hear another one of this. The track is called Jack of All Trades. No, I'm only kidding. Yeah. It isn't. This is called Trio. Tell us about this.
Trio was on an album, long deleted title of mine called Aspire, which I used to like that title. And it was by a trio I had around this time, whatever it was, 2004 or something.
Mm.
And with Mick Hutton on bass and Gene Calderazzo on drums. And it was called Gary Husband New Trio. And it was called that because I didn't have any work as a drummer at that time. So I thought, well, I'm going to reinvent myself and call it The New. And appear playing piano. Here he is playing piano. So, so I did this and formed a trio. And we started doing stuff. And this is one of the pieces came up for our second recording. It was actually dedicated and written very much with Bill Evans in mind. And it's entitled Trio.
Thank you.
Most welcome. Caught me by surprise, that ending, actually, because it's suddenly the end. I thought it was just one of those additional dramatic pauses that people have.
With our pieces full of funny schizophrenic type little changes. Yeah,
that's so fun. Now, you've done many, many recordings over the years. Let's talk about, let's skip forward to your latest album, which is the second of these volumes called Dirty and Beautiful. These bring together a wide range of all-stars, some who you wouldn't generally find together. What was this album all about, and these two albums, volumes, what were they all about?
Actually, the right at the beginning of this, it was an idea to two very notable guitar players that I'm lucky enough to work with. One, John McLaughlin, and the other one, Alan Holdsworth, who I've been playing with now since 79, long time. And I really heard a way to feature them both in terms of some kind of music. I didn't want to do any big dueling banjos kind of, you know, big rave up between the two of the greatest technicians and you know, improvisational innovators in the world of guitar. Because they're both very disparate in terms of style and the way that they play and the way that they sound and that what their strengths are, I heard a way to sort of mix them in terms of a piece. And this was really starting to bug me. And I thought, I think I'm going to try and make an album, put them both together, because nobody's, you know, they've never really got anywhere near each other in the past, you know. Yeah. So I thought, well, who better place to do it, you know, since I'm working with both of them on a reasonably sort of constant basis. So I really set about this, and you know, there are lots of facts. Alan lives in America and John lives in the south of France, and tried to find some kind of halfway mark, and then we had to start speaking about, you know, material, because they weren't really that ready to start speaking to one another about it. But there was a side of them both that was really digging the idea of it. Particularly Alan, actually, I have to say, it was really, me and John, And I said, well, do you want to do it then? No, you know, I'll just sit on it for a while and think about it, you know. But I can tell it was, you know, it was really starting to sort of vibe him. And I was thinking, well, you know, this could just fly. You know, this could either happen or not happen. And you know, for one reason and another 3,000 reasons, this just was never going to happen. And you know, at last, you know, I learned my lesson. It's you know, I got used to it. So I thought, well, since I'd looked into sort of different studios and started sounding different musicians out, and I thought, well, I'll make an album anyway. And just since I'm 50, which I was just a couple of years ago, I thought, well, you know, I'm lucky enough to be able to go around all these playing all these different bands and with different musicians. I want to celebrate it and try and bring as many of them together in a quite an untypical way, you know, and, you know, wherever I can, take them out of their realm a little bit and bring them into mine if possible, and create something, a new kind of stew with them all there, you know, up alongside each other.
Huge melting pot, isn't
it? Yeah.
And
really just to sort of celebrate, you know, how lucky I've been and how lucky I am, and hopefully how lucky I'll continue to be to get to play with these guys. And
it must have been really challenging in terms of touring. How do you deal with that? Because obviously everybody has a different schedule, and must have been quite hard to get everybody together in one tour.
Oh, you mean the prospect of touring an album like this?
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's impossible.
Right.
No, I can't ever imagine that. I mean, it's enough that they come and play for me and, you know, learn my music and get in with the vision and be so excited about it and offer such spirit to the performances. But to expect them to come and work for me on the road, no, I don't think
so. It'd be difficult, yeah. Did you write each song for each guy, or how did you piece them together? Obviously there's so many different I'm trying to think of a better word for egos, but you know there's so many different great people in it, personalities. So did you write each song for each personality, or and how did you make it sound all thematic throughout the album?
Oh, I don't know. I do work hard on trying to make an album always as coherent as I can.
Coherent and flowing, yeah.
So that it's got a journey to it, a poetry, if you like, you know, where, you know, it's definitely got a journey to it, and how it finishes and how it begins are two very important aspects, and of course everything that goes on in between. But in answer to your question, that there were certain pieces that I had already, older pieces, and I thought, oh, you know, I could get that out and redo that, and I could really hear so and so on it. So I'd approach them and play it to them, and if all went to plan, they liked it, then they'd do it. But in the case of other people, I wrote new material for them specifically. So the allocations, if you like, for the various artists were definitely well researched and thought through. So I definitely wanted to get things that people felt comfortable with, if not a little edgy with, you know, because if you put somebody in a slightly different position, you get a very different kind of performance out of them. So I've learned from some of the great producers that I've been lucky to work for, you know, it's a nice trick, you know, take them out of the area just a little bit, not that much, but just so that they have to really think about it, you know, reshape and work on a fresh, you know, they can't just go into their trick bag and feel totally comfortable. They've got to sort of work a bit.
Classic hits, the best new music, and the biggest songs from around the world. All types of music, for all types of people.
91.8 Hayes FM.
Alex Hutton, Kate Winter,
The Jazz Show.
Well, we've got a little surprise for you coming up soon. The blindfold test. Also, ladies and gents, we're going to be hearing a bit more about Gary's future plans. But right now, let's hear something from Gary from the album we've just been talking about, the two albums, Dirty and Beautiful. This is something from Volume 1 called Bedford Falls.
Do you know where Bedford Falls is?
No, is that?
I don't think it really exists, but if you've ever seen a movie, Frank Capra movie, It's a Wonderful Life.
How am I supposed to know where it is then?
No, but It's a Wonderful Life with James Stewart.
Yeah.
Is the little town that it's set in is Bedford Falls.
Thank you.
Seem to have the mic now. You're listening to The Jazz Show. I'm Alex Hutton. We have a fantastic guest in, Gary Husband.
Fantastic host here, and Alex Hutton, piano player extraordinaire.
I've got a few questions, but first thing, we're going to just play this blindfold test. So what it is a list.
Do I need one?
You need the headphones. But
to
you
do this. Blindfold. Let's put your blindfold on.
And you need a pen and paper.
Okay.
They'll go through pretty quick. Ten snippets of tracks, kind of custom built for yourself and your career.
Mm.
So you might know some of these people, and you might even be on these tracks. You know. So.
Ooh.
I'm not putting you in the deep end too much. Let's go. Let's go now.
Fantastic.
Number three. Number five. Number seven.
Number 10.
Well, that was, I must admit, had fun putting that together. Okay, so how do you get on?
Well, I don't know, Alex. I'm not sure. I might have got one or two of them.
Right, number one.
My old brother, Alan Holdsworth. I don't know the name of the tune, but I think the album's called None Too Soon.
That's right, and it was in mid-flight, so yeah, the tune was Inner Urge, but yeah, Holdsworth. Number two.
Joe DeFrancesco and Kate Winter.
Yeah.
I'm right, aren't I?
Yeah. Bob Berg. But,
was it really?
Yeah.
Was it Joe DeFrancesco?
Yes, it was. So I don't know who's actually, but it's Bob Berg's tune. It was Friday Night at the Cadillac. I'll give you that. Friday Night at the Cadillac.
Fantastic. That was what it was. Wow.
Number three. That's a great guitar sound from number three, isn't it?
Jeff Beck and Kate Winter.
Yeah, it was. And or was it just Stone? I don't know.
Ah, was it really?
I'll give you a clue. I'm actually not on any of these. But thanks for the name plug.
Well, you can see why I got that wrong. No, very nice. So that was just Stone and Jeff Beck. Okay.
But you got that. You got Jeff Beck. That's the one I was wanting. I mean, for bonus points, if you want to go for the car. then you'd have got just there. Never mind. Okay, number four.
Weather Report, A Remark You Made.
Yep, lovely song. Number five, how'd you get on with number five?
Not really very good. The only thing that comes to mind is a guy called Steve Vai.
Nearly. I think a gap. Similar.
Similar. Very. Ooh.
Same band at some point or other.
Same band. No.
Van Halen.
Oh, is it Eddie Van Halen?
Yeah.
Oh, that's... Yeah, I should have got that.
It was a tune called Eruption. I don't know why I put it on there, but I thought, you know...
Wow, I played with him once.
Yeah, I know, indeed. That was that's why my motivation behind that. Number six.
I still don't know a track to this, but was that Stan Getz?
No, it wasn't. It was someone that you played with, but it was Joe Lovano.
Ah, Joe Lovano.
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar to Getz. He was playing a standard Stella by Starlight.
Yes.
So it was difficult because he was in mid-flow. So you're not perfect after all.
No,
the great Gary Husband is not.
No, he's definitely perfect. Not perfect.
Okay, number seven.
John McLaughlin, Free Spirits, No Blues.
Yeah, it was a blues. It was called Take the Cold Train. But yes,
Take the Cold Train.
John McLaughlin, indeed. Number eight.
Was that Asaph Circus?
It was.
Yeah,
good. I'm glad you got that.
I recognise him.
The album.
Got a big soul on those drums.
Yeah. The album was Letting Go and the track was Chennai Dream.
Very nice indeed.
Number nine, how'd you get on with that?
I think I'm on that one. Jim Mullen?
Yeah.
There's no mistaking Jim, is
there? No. I didn't know the personnel, so I wasn't sure who was on it, but you're on that one.
I think I might be, yeah. It sounded a bit like me.
I think it was from the mid-90s period.
Okay, yeah, because we did a few.
Yes,
Recently reunited for a little tour.
Yeah, what happened with that? That was the quartet, wasn't it?
It was the Jim Mullen Quartet of the mid-1990s.
Do you know, I used to see that back in the day at the Six. It was unbelievable. Just walk into the Six to hear this kind of intensity on a Saturday night. Intense. It was a bit of an all-star cast. Well, for the English jazz scene, you know, that band. But anyway.
Oh, I'm a big fan of Jim.
Yeah.
Enormous fan.
We should get him in, actually, Kate. We should get Jim Mullen.
Definitely.
I think Jim's the funniest person I know.
Is he? Apart from me.
Yeah, no, I should definitely have him in here.
Yes. Number 10, difficult, probably before your time, but, you know.
Al Jarreau.
Yes.
What's the name of that song, though? Some Fly By...
Moonlighting Theme.
Moonlighting.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. I'm old enough to remember that series,
Me
in
too.
Fact.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so I didn't score too badly, did
you
I?
Did you? I think you got 9.
Did I really? That's great. Great.
Which is, you know, you're up there with some good performances.
Ah, I'm quite pleased with my...
I think you did better than Richard Niles.
Really? Yeah. Good.
He got 8.5.
I'm glad to hear it. Thanks, Alex.
Now, your partner is also artistic. She makes the most incredible bespoke pieces of wooden furniture.
Yes, she does.
Thanks. Tell us how you...
Her.
You're welcome. What is her website address? Because I think everybody should know about this furniture. It's unbelievable. Can you remember what it is?
Yeah, well, the name of the company is Tree Couture, as in haute couture, or however you say those French dudes say it. And Tree, I think it's something like Tree Couture, one word, .co.uk. And here is a brand new furniture business. Yeah, she's making all this impressive furniture out of sustainable woods, and her imagination with wood is unparalleled. And she prides herself on the fact that it's like, you know, antique furniture and very contemporary at the same time. And it's really impressive stuff. So anybody who's into sort of furniture, I can definitely recommend it.
It is. I wish we could kit out our entire studio if we could with this fantastic furniture. Yeah. Tree Couture. Brilliant, brilliant, innovative company. Is your website, Gary? How can people find out where you are going to be playing so they can come and see you?
Oh, that's good, because the one place that I do keep regularly updated is the only thing I really keep up to the minute on with my website, which is www.garyhusband.com, mysteriously enough. And and there's a page on there called Live Stroke Tours, which I do diligently try and keep up to date and stuff. But I'm also around on the... on the Facebook. I'm big on Facebook, me, and I'm also with the Twitter too. You can find me there too.
Well done.
It's great because I had a great conversation with Carluccio's, who I really love, who make the best espresso coffee for me.
Oh, divine.
I'm an espresso coffee junkie, and easily the best dark Milan roast, I think it's called, comes from. So I did a tweet about Carluccio's Milan dark roast espresso.
And other coffee shops and stuff are available.
And I said and I said that it was the best. And the great thing was that Carluccio's came back and said, although we shouldn't really say it, you know, blow our own trumpet, but we agree. Isn't that great?
Brilliant.
Shrinking world, eh?
Yeah. Maybe they should endorse you or something.
Yeah, it's the least they can do.
Endorse them, whatever it's called.
Drink enough of it.
Brilliant. Well, if ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to find out more about Gary, we'll put his details on our website, which is www.thejazzshowonline.com. And remember, we'd love to hear from you. Keep your requests coming in on our email, please. press@thejazzshowonline.com. Big thank you to everybody here at Ealing Studios, everyone at Hayes FM, everyone at Global City Radio, Lindsay on the admin side, Alex, my co-host, our fantastic guest today, Mr. Gary Husband, and all our listeners. Yay!
Yeah. Thank you, Alex, Kate, and Lindsay.
Join us again, same time next week for more jazz.
Let's play another one, Gary. Which one do you recommend?
Well, I was thinking about East River Jam because we were just this very morning, I was talking to that track with somebody, and the process with the great guitar player Wayne Krantz, who takes a featured role on this one, and how we did it and how it was kind of born out of a few hours idle in the studio with a piece of machinery down, and I just went in the studio and layered something up, and ended up sending it to Wayne, and we came up with a little piece together, and that's the result. East River Jam.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.